Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. First, I'd like to announce next week. First of all, there won't be a share this Thursday night. No share this Thursday. There will be, however, a share on Shabbos for Shabbos HaGadol. Preparation for Pesach, insights into the Seder and into the Agada at 5:30 for both men and women this Shabbos afternoon on Shabbos HaGadol. The second, and next week, of course, is Pesach, so there won't be a Tuesday class. There might be a Thursday class next week. And then the following week, again, is Yantif. So again, there won't be a Tuesday class. This week, I'd just like to thank the sponsors of tonight's share. We have a few sponsors. We have Mrs. Nilu Devora Eisenberg. And she sponsored tonight's share. And this is in honor of her father's yahrzeit, Nissan Ben Yaakov, whose yahrzeit is actually was today, Ches Nissan. So may his neshama have a very, very great aliyah. And his name is Nissan, and he passed away in the month of Nissan. And Nissan is miracles. May he send lots of miracles to your family and a lot of light. And very soon, may we experience the ultimate nace of the future redemption when all neshamas are going to return back here to be reunited. The second sponsorship this week is also for the shir, and this is by Mr. Moshe Polin, and this is in honor of his mother's yahrzeit, whose yahrzeit is going to be this coming Shabbos on the 12th of Nisan. Bernice Paslea, may her neshama have a very, very, it's a 25th yahrzeit, and may her neshama have a very, very high aliyah and be a source of great blessings to him and his family. Also, we have the CDs this week have been sponsored as follows. We have two sponsors for the CDs. We have Mr. and Mrs. Saul Goldner, and this is in honor of their son, Le'ili Nishmas, their son, Pinchas Alimelach, Ben Shloima Asher Halevi. May his neshama have a very, very great aliyah, and which we'll definitely have as a result of the schus of the shir, and very soon may he be down here again, reunited with his family. The last sponsorship of tonight, first of all, we had mentioned already your sponsorship a minute ago, but it's there. Today was the yard site, so that has been mentioned. And the next sponsorship tonight has been for the other CD, and this is by Rabbi and Mrs. Michi Ravnoy. And this is in honor of his grandmother, Bracha Gittel Bas Shaltielzev. May the neshama have a very, very high aliyah. And again, great brachas to him, to his family, and to all of the Jewish people. This week, it's the week before Pesach. So instead of, we're going to apologize to the parsha and for not speaking on the parsha. And we're going to dedicate the class to preparation for Pesach. Pesach, we celebrate the Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. And for many of us, the question is, it's really for all of us, what is the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, for us today, for each and every one of us? We're going to sit down to a Seder next week, Monday night, and we're going to eat, drink a lot of wine, and crunch a lot of cracker, but what is really taking place? And what does it really mean to us? And especially that we're living now in the exile, we're living at the end of a long and bitter and harsh exile of great darkness. And it's very hard in this present state of mind to identify with redemption, to identify with Yetzias Mitzrayim, to make it an internal experience. So the exile brings with it hardship, pain, suffering, and both on the physical level, there's so much suffering in the world, There is so much hurt. And as we sit down to the Seder and we're hurting, both from the financial stress and difficulties and other pains and aches that many, many experience and all experience on some level, how do we connect? How do we connect to the redemption? And especially on a spiritual level. On the spiritual level, definitely we are in a lot of concealment and darkness. Whether we know it, whether we don't know it. If we know it, we see, we feel that our soul is blocked. We find it so hard to connect to our inner light, to our neshama. We're lacking, so lacking in the light of a mitzvah, in the depth and in the connection to God through prayer. And we all feel that. So if we do feel it, at least the sense of it is an indication that there is still some spiritual juice flowing in our system, that we can at least feel and sense how spiritually deprived we are. If God forbid we don't even feel that, and we just find everything is terrific, and we don't have the spiritual aching and the spiritual pain of the darkness that we're in, so that's a sign of God forbid even you know of something much worse, of a serious dilemma. Like there's a famous story of Rabbinim of Peshitscha, one of the great Hasidic masters, who was telling his students about how important it is to be constantly on the watch, constant vigilance on being on watching out for the Yetzer Hara, for the evil inclination, because the evil inclination is always seeking to stick its foot out in order to trip us and make us stumble and fall and get us to make the wrong choice. So in order to express and to show his students how serious it is, he gave the example, and he said a person should always see himself as he's laying inside with his head in the guillotine. And the executor has the blade right atop of their head and is ready to chop. So in that sense, the person isn't so tense and he's so aware that any moment he's going to lose his head, God forbid. So he says, and that's the awareness that a person is supposed to be in, knowing how close the Yetzer Hara is in order to cause him to fall. So one of the Hasidim, one of the students said, and what happens if you don't feel that way? It's quite difficult to bear in mind and live with that in the back of our mind constantly. What happens if we don't feel that? So in his usual sharp method, he said, well, that's because your head was chopped already. So it's already been chopped, and that's why you don't feel that. So if we don't feel it, the depraved state that we're in, the deprived state that our soul's in, then it's even a bigger rahman. So in any case, the question is, in the time that we're in right now, in the year 5770, in the year 2010, after close to 2,000 years, when we've been separated from the Beis HaMikdash and disconnected from our roots, how do we experience redemption today? What does it mean to us? So we have to look into the Chumash, right where the Torah begins to tell us the story of the Exodus, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So right in the beginning, the Torah says, this is not even the story of the Exodus. This is the story of the actual descent into Egypt. Parsha Shemos begins with the exile. Ve'ela Shemos b'nei Yisrael, and this is the names of the children of Israel, Haboyim Mitzrayim, that are coming down to Egypt. And the Medrash tells us, and it goes on to list the names of the tribes, of the 12 tribes, Reuven, Shimon, and so forth. So the Medrash says that all the names that are mentioned over here, Kulam al Shem Gulasen Shel Yisrael, the Jewish people are given these names now, are called by these names, because these names are all indicating the redemption. Because even though they were going into exile, the names are indicating the redemption. Reuven means that Hashem has seen their pain, and that Hashem is going to redeem them. Shimon means that Hashem has heard, comes from the word Shimon, hearing, Shmiya, hearing, which means that Hashem has heard their suffering. Levi means that God has attached himself to them to feel their pain and suffering, like it says that God was within the burning bush. Why did he choose that bush? Because it was a thorny bush to indicate that he is with them in their suffering, and therefore he will take them out of their pain. Yehuda is indicating the thanks that the Jewish people are going to praise God. They're going to sing Shira, which is Haidah, thanks to God for taking them out. Yisachar, God has given them the reward for the enslavement and the suffering. They went out with a great wealth. Zavulin comes from the word, Zavul means a dwelling, because Hashem, when he took them out of Mitzrayim, came to live with them, to dwell with them. Dun is because Hashem was going to judge the nation that perpetrated all the atrocities against them. And so too the Medrash goes through all the names. And the question is, that really doesn't make any sense. We're talking about the Jewish people descending into exile. We're not talking about the redemption. We're talking about the beginning of the Gullus. So true, there is going to be a redemption, but the redemption is not going to take place only until the following Torah portion. Actually, two portions later, Parshas Bo. When the Parshas Ve'eras, at least the beginning of the redemption begin, the plagues. But in Shemos, all we have is a horrific story of sorrow and pain. So what's the meaning of naming them then on the name of the redemption? The redemption is only taking place in the next chapter. Many years later, rivers of tears and blood later, after so much suffering and pain, that's when they came to the redemption. So then, why is the redemption, why are they now being called with names that are indicating redemption? What makes it even harder to understand is when the Medrash goes through all the names, it lists Yosef. What does Yosef indicate? Yosef Hashem Sheinis Yodoy. That Hashem is going to extend His hand a second time in the future redemption. That God is going to take us out of this present day exile. That's Yosef. Which means that all the way at the beginning, at the very start, when the Jewish people are going into exile, way back then, they're already being called with names that is indicating not only a redemption that was going to take place 210 years later, but the redemption that was going to take place 3,500 years later. It's not meaning that even though there was going to be a painful exile and then the redemption, but not a permanent redemption. Because when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, they just set off on a journey of that is going to entail high moments and low moments. Moments of triumph and moments of crushing defeat. Moments of joy and jubilation and happiness. Moments of tears and pain and suffering. Until we're finally going to come to the days of Mashiach. So what sense does it make that right at the beginning they are named with names that are indicating Yosef, that is indicating Yosef Hashem Sheinis Yodeh. That's their name now. Which means that's the content of what of their identity or what they're all about. Which is really telling us something really, really awesome. A very, very powerful thing. That the very, very deeper meaning of the going into exile itself is not exile. The Jewish people never go to exile. We're not a people of exile. We're a people of redemption. We're a people of freedom. And even when we're going into exile, the only reason we're going into exile is to bring freedom into exile. To bring light into darkness and ultimately to transform the darkness. And that's the meaning of the very, very descent of all the trials and all the suffering, both on a communal level and an individual level, all the pain and all the darkness that we go through, it's all a journey of redemption. Not only a preparatory state. We have to go through suffering in order to come to the light, but the inner meaning of the suffering, the inner meaning of the darkness itself is the light, is the future redemption. That's why they are now called with names, names that are indicating the redemption. But in order to understand this and appreciate this, so we take a look at the Haggadah, the book of redemption, the book that we've repeated so many times in our history, again and again, the book that has invigorated us, that has strengthened us, that has rejuvenated us, that's given us our hope and aspiration. So in the Haggadah we read, it's a beautiful passage, but this part of the Haggadah we're still kind of awake and kind of involved in the thing. So it tells us like this, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, this is actually a quote from the Mishnah, from the last chapter of Tractate Brachos, which is the first tractate of the Talmud. So in the last chapter, Perek Aleph, concludes with this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Anike ben Shivim Shana, I am like a 70-year-old man, V'loi Zachisi, and I have not merited Sheta Amar that it should be said, Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelois. Now we should say the exodus of Egypt at night. We should mention the exodus at night. Because we know that there is a mitzvah. It says, Laman tisker es yom tzeischa meretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. You're supposed to remember the day of you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So it's not only something that we fulfill on Pesach, where we celebrate the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but this is a daily exercise. Every day in the prayer, in the Shema, we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem, that I've taken you out in Eretz Mitzrayim, that I've taken you out of Egypt. So the Pasuk because of the mitzvah, that we have to remember the Exodus every single day. So Rabbi Lezer says, I haven't found a source in all my life. I'm 70 years old, or like 70 years old, and I have not yet found a source from where we know that we're supposed to speak about and mention the redemption by night. By day, yeah, but where's the source that at night we are also, every evening, we're supposed to also mention the going out of Egypt? Acha Darsha Ben Zoma, until Ben Zoma came, and he expounded. Since it says in the verse, you should remember the day you went out of Egypt, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life. It could have said, Bi Yemei Chayecha, in the days of your life. When it says Kol is an all-embracing word. It comes to add something. What does it mean, all the days of your life? So that comes to say, by night too. That at night too, we're also supposed to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, even in the evenings. That was Ben Zon. So he said, oh, finally. And now I found out what the source is. Then the Mishnah continues, and then the Agada we continue. The Chachamim say as follows. The other rabbi said, he said, no, Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, Ha'olam Hazeh, which represents this world, today's world. Kol Yemei Chayecha, when it says all the days of your life, Lahavi, that comes to bring, and it comes to tell us, Yemos HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach, that even in the days of Mashiach, then too, we have to remember the Exodus, which means not only today do we mention in our prayers or in our reciting of the Shema every day the going out of Mitzrayim, but even in the Messianic world, even in the utopian beautiful world that's going to be when Mashiach comes, when we're going to have experienced already a far superior redemption, the redemption of Mashiach. Nevertheless, we're still going to remember the going out of Mitzrayim. That's the passage in the Agada that we see. Now, the commentary is already explained that Ben Zoma and the Chachamim are not, and the other rabbis are not necessarily arguing. There's no halachic dispute whether we have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim by night or not, or whether we say Yetzias Mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach. Both agree to both, meaning even the rabbis agree that we're supposed to say Yetzias Mitzrayim by day and by night. And even Ben Zoma agrees that even in the future world, in the world of Mashiach, we're also going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. The question is only how we expound the verse. What does the verse mean? When it says the word kol, what does kol mean? Does kol mean to add the night? Or does the kol mean to add the days of Mashiach? But the ruling itself that we're supposed to read it and say it by day and by night, and that we're supposed to say it in the present world and also in the future world, these two hold is true according to both opinions. That's how a lot of commentaries say. Other commentaries disagree and say it's an argument, but there are many commentaries that say that this, which means that this statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is sort of telling us that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is an active force in our life in today's days, by day and by night, in the days of our life and in the nights of our lives, and in our present world that we're living now and in the future world. Yetzias Mitzrayim accompanies us and is the force and the root of our relationship with God throughout all of our history, from way back then until the future. Now, we know that whenever a statement is made, any teaching that we have from any rabbi, in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, in the Gemara, in Halacha, any thought and any idea is connected to the person who said it. Which means that it's not just that it happened to be that this person said it or that person said it. It is connected to their soul, to who they are. Because we know that really all of the Torah is divine. It was all of the Torah is divine. It was all given by God. It was all given by God in heaven to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even those parts of the Torah that are going to be revealed later, as it says, that Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asid L'Chadesh Nitan L'Moshe M'Sinai. Everything that a student, even in the future generations, is going to reveal, was given to Moshe. God taught all of the Torah to Moshe. However, even though Hashem taught it to Moshe, it didn't reveal itself until later generation, to a later time. Whichever time that it was revealed, it was through that particular tzaddik, that particular rabbi, that particular scholar, merited that this idea that is really Hashem's, God's thoughts and Hashem's teaching was revealed through his mind and through was articulated through that particular person. But the reason why this person was merited to be the channel for this is because it's connected to his soul. And it's not only connected to his soul, to the person, but it's also connected to the time that it was revealed. The reason why certain things are revealed at certain times is because that's when these ideas have to enter in the world. That's when the world needs it. So there are certain things that were revealed in the days of the prophets, and there are certain things that were revealed in the days of the Mishnah, certain things revealed in the days of the Talmud, certain things that are being revealed by the later, in the later generations, by the great teachers of our generation, and the great Hasidic masters and so forth, and Kabbalists, whatever, where all the revelation, everything that's coming to the world, is coming to the world at its particular time. So if this teaching of the all-embracing power of Yemos HaMashiach, I'm sorry, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's at the root of our being, both by day and by night, and in Yemos HaMashiach, in today's world and in the future world, it was said by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there must be some connection to this age, to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It also must be connected to the day, to that time that he said it. Now, when did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah give this teaching? This was the day that he was appointed to be the Nasi. He was appointed to be the leader of the generation, the leader of the Sanhedrin. As the Talmud tells a story, that before Rabbi Elazar, because he says that in the Mishnah, he says, I am like 70 years old, which is strange. Is he 70 or isn't he 70? What does he mean, I am like 70? And we all know that really he wasn't 70 years old. He was only 18. He was a youngster, 18 years old. But he appeared like he was 70. Why? Because before him, there was another Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, was the great Nasi. But for whatever reason, because something that Rabbi Gamliel did, the sages decided to dethrone him and to remove him from his post of being the Nasi, and they looked for an appropriate substitute who would be able to take his place, and they found Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The problem was that he was very young. So God made a miracle that his beard turned white, and he appeared to be like a 70-year-old man. Which means that in essence, he was already worthy for it. He was like a 70-year-old man. He had the wisdom of a great sage. That's why they chose him. But it wasn't externally displayed. So it needed to be, so in order for that to happen, he appeared, so the miracle came and revealed what he really was, that he was on the level of a sage of 70 years old. So the reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says this right now, I am like 70 years old and I didn't merit, why does he say it now? We don't find it being said by any of all the other teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah throughout Shas. And the reason for that is because, as Rashi says, this statement Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said on the day that they appointed him as a Nasi, on the day that he became like 70 years old. So on that very day, he said that he taught this teaching about when Yetzias Mitzrayim needs to be said, by day and by night, and also in the days of Mashiach. So we need to understand, what is the connection both to the person, to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and what's the connection to him becoming the Nasi? How is that appropriate to him on that particular day? We also understand that a person is obligated to study Torah. That which is applicable to him is takes precedence. Which means if you have a question, the Torah is so vast, and you don't know what to study. You can learn the laws of the red heifer, or you can learn the laws of kashrus, or the laws of Shabbos observance. So which one comes first? So being that immediately now, we need to know the laws of Shabbos, we need to know the laws of kashrus right now, we're waiting for Mashiach too, so hopefully the laws of the red heifer will also be applicable very, very soon. But what takes precedence first in our life is to learn Hamaisa Hashayasin, Yasin. We have to know the act of what we ought to do. So if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed that day as a Nasi, he probably studied which part of the Torah, the part of the Torah that was applicable to him in as assuming this massive responsibility. He was now becoming the leader of the Jewish people. He was now stepping up to be to guide and instruct all of the people of Israel. So we would understand that if he's studying Torah on that day, he learned what was applicable to him on that day. So this is also an indication that this teaching that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught, that about the importance and significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim in our life, was connected to him assuming the mantle of leadership and becoming the Nasi of the Jewish people. So do you understand this? And the reason why we say this passage by the Seder, I mean, it doesn't say, and in this Mishnah, it doesn't speak about the obligation to mention the going out of Egypt on Pesach by night. That is learned from a different verse. V'igadat olabincha b'yom ahu, that on that day, or we're supposed to, on the day that we eat matzah and maror, which is the day of Pesach, we have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This Mishnah is talking about our overall commandment of doing it every day, mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. So why are we mentioning it in the Haggadah? And that is because it is from this Mishnah that we see the significance and the importance and the power of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So being that this night we have to speak about the praise of God that He took us out of Egypt, so we say this Mishnah because this Mishnah indicates how powerful and how effective and how immense, and that Yetzias Mitzrayim is had such ramifications and impact and an effect on our lives, that it's not just something that happened way back then, but it's something that is still applicable and effective in our life today. Where do we see that? Well, every day, every single Jew all over the world has to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, we wouldn't be mentioning, we wouldn't be spending time and mentioning something of the past. If we're in the most crucial moment of our connection to God, when we're reciting the Shema in our deepest moment of prayer, we're speaking about the going out of Egypt, is a sign because this is applicable. This is really what's, this is connected to us right now. And then we say, not only do you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day in order for you to be able to fully realize your relationship with God as a Jew, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, but you also have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every night. That means you can't go even one evening, one night cannot be missing, you can't be lacking in the going out of Egypt. So that tells us the Yetzias Mitzrayim is quite significant. Not only once a day, but twice a day, in the morning and in the night. And then to emphasize the importance of the Exodus, even to a greater degree, it's not only Bezman Hazeh, it's not only in our days, today's in today's world, but Mashiach, but Yetzias Mitzrayim extends and has such far-reaching consequences that it reaches into the days of Yom HaYisrael Mashiach. Even in the future, when Mashiach is going to come, even then, we're still connected, we're still being empowered. The power that was unleashed in the world, that God imbued in our souls when we went out of Egypt, is so powerful and so strong that its effects we're going to feel even when after we've gone through a far greater redemption. Even then, we're still connected and empowered to the going out of Egypt. So that's the reason we mention this. We mentioned this passage by the Haggadah, to recognize the awesomeness of the evening, the awesomeness of the moment, of what we're connecting to, the energy of the moment, how this is at the core of our Judaism, the core of our connection to God. But why? Why is it so important? Now, of course, we'll all understand. See, like we say in the Haggadah, if God would have not taken us out of Egypt, then we would have still been in Egypt. If we lived in Egypt, we would have never had Torah and mitzvahs, and we would have never been able to connect to Hashem and have our connection the way we have today. True, of course we understand that that was a necessary component in the mission of the Jewish people when we came a people and so forth. But that is still something of the past. We have to say that if we're saying to mention it every day, it's because Yetzias Mitzrayim is an active force in our life now. It's not something that happened once, that because it happened then, and as a, in a form, in a manner of cause and effect, we're affected by it today. No, Yetzias Mitzrayim, in a spiritual sense, is taking place every moment of our life, by day, by night, and even into the days of Mashiach. But to understand this, what is it? So, as mentioned many times, Egypt, Mitzrayim, means confinement. It means constrictions and it means limitations. We all live in limitations. We all live in boundaries. We all have constrictions. And that is because, not our fault, that is something that God has done to us. Our soul is really a piece of God from above. Comes from a world, from a place that transcends limitations and boundaries. Our neshama is one with the infinite light, with the Ein Sof. And over there is no Mitzrayim. Hashem takes our neshama and sends it down into a body. When we come into this world and we wake up one morning and we find ourselves in a physical condition, in the physical, on earth, here we experience all kinds of constrictions and limitations. The limitations and the boundaries, what does it mean, the limitations? The main boundaries and the main constrictions. Besides for the aches and pains that are here in this world, but primarily it's the disconnect, the fact that we are limited in our attachment to God. The fact that we have that, and these limitations and these boundaries come from many things in our life. This is projected, or this is placed upon us just by living within the physical world. Just by being a physical creature means that so much time of our day is invested, is dedicated towards things, mundane activity that seems to, that doesn't seem to have any relationship with spirituality and with our mission and with our connection to God. We have to spend hours upon hours earning a living. We have to spend hours eating, doing all the material things that we do. And then, but besides the limitations that are coming from just the physical, and of course we all would love to be able to sit and study Torah all day. We would love to be able to engage in meditative prayer all day, or to cleave to Hashem through the performance of a mitzvah, but that's not the case. Life as we know it today does not allow that. As much as we try and as much as we want, we can't. Because we need, we're in a physical world, incumbent with the physical limitations of our body. But besides that, there is the limitations coming from our soul, from not our godly soul, but from our animal soul. Because God placed us besides our holy soul, our spiritual soul, we also have an animal soul. And our animal soul, which we call sometimes Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, that adds to the limitations. It adds to the challenge, because that drags us constantly, sets up all kinds of barriers, all kinds of stoppages, all kinds, because it disconnects. It keeps on pulling us into the wrong things. We experience a constant barrage of distractions, where the body and the animal cravings in man are attaching itself to things that are antithetical to spiritual growth and development. So we have all kinds of cravings, desires that are unholy. And then we have sadness, depression, and hang-ups and despair, which are all emanating from our animal consciousness, from our earthy consciousness. And these things separate us. This takes a serious toll on our neshama, on our soul, causing such disconnect. That's Mitzrayim. And this is every day. Every day we have to struggle with this darkness. And every person in their own way. Some people have to fight off horrible lusts and desires. Others have to fight off depression and sadness, laziness, and all kinds of other things. Fears and the like. And doubt. This is all Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is that God empowers our soul. That even though we are living in this physical world, even though we're living in a world that is so constricting, that is so veiling, and blocks so much, and within a physical body, incumbent with the Yetzer Hara, nevertheless, Hashem has empowered us to transcend all those elements. That a Jew is never cemented to earth. That we are not nailed down. That we have the ability to yank ourselves out from the muck. We have the ability to pick ourselves up from all the chazarai and all the stupidity that tries to hold us down. And we have the ability to connect and cleave to Hashem. Every time we do a mitzvah, every time we study Torah, every time we have a moment of light, that's a moment of connection. But we have the ability to pick ourselves up. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's really what Torah mitzvahs is all. That's the whole idea of Torah mitzvahs. The ability to connect to God even while we're living on physical earth. With all the demands of a physical body. With all the demands of the Yetzer Hara, the distractions of the evil inclination. We still could connect. We still could achieve an attachment and a oneness with Hashem. That's the power that Hashem is giving us when He took us out of Egypt. He enabled us that we're not stuck in this world. We're not stuck in the darkness, in the concealments. But we can enjoy a connection to God that is permanent. However, this Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, is something that needs to be remembered at three times in our life. Three periods of our life. What are the three periods? There is a period of day, and there is a period of night. And then there is the period of Yemei Samashiach, the days of the Messianic era, the days of Mashiach. What do these three indicate in our personal lives? What does this mean? So there is daytime. What is the daytime? Day is light. It represents a time, a period of illumination. So we are all fortunate and lucky to have certain moments when God parts the veil and He's smiling at us. Times that we feel a unique connection, the warmth of Hashem's glow as we're bathing in godly light. Everybody has moments of these. Sometimes it's very short moments. Some people have greater periods. If you can look back at your life, you can find there was a time that you were experiencing great enlightenment. You ended up in a yeshiva, you ended up in a school, and you studied and you learned. And wow, you were flying high. You were able to flap your spiritual wings and soar to the heavens. And even in our present day lives, there are moments of illumination, moments of connection, of light. So Rabbi Lazar ben Azari says, well, it's at those moments, remember that what? Don't suffice. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim even in the day. What does it mean by the daytime? You have to remember. It means that there is a lot of light in your life. Don't be satisfied. Don't sit back and say, oh, I've accomplished. I feel a tingling in my soul. I've connected. I'm attached to God. I've experienced such a high, spiritual high. That's it. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Your connection to God is endless. Mitzrayim means boundaries and limitations. You can go past that. The tomorrow, the place you have to reach tomorrow has to surpass, has to be so much beyond the today that where you were yesterday should be considered still stuck and confined in limitations and in boundaries. So the journey that Hashem is telling us to go, Hashem says, go out of Egypt. Meaning no matter what you've attained and no matter what kind of light you've attained, there is always a beyond that. There is a higher than that. And until we reach the days of Mashiach, it's still the days of Yemei Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the days you're going out of Egypt. No matter whichever attainment, spiritual attainment you reach, there is a beyond that. There is something higher than that. That is Yetzias Mitzrayim of the daytime. But then there's another Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the sage says, is Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, that is coming to add Halelois, even the nights. Night represents the exact opposite. Times of great darkness in our lives. Times that we feel that there is no spiritual illumination at all. We feel that we are fallen down under a collapse. And that materialism has taken such a deep effect, such a powerful, has trapped us. And we're so stuck. And there is nothing. There is nothing. All we are, if we feel that we're wallowing in pain and in misery. And that we can't, there's no vestige of light. There isn't even a trace of light. And even when we try to pick ourselves up, we fall down again and again and again. That's called night. A time of great concealment. A time that it feels that God has abandoned us. A time that it feels that he has left go of us. That's the darkness. And Rabbi Lazar is saying, listen here. Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim, that when God took us out of Egypt, he gave us such a power. Such a dosage of light was imbued in our souls that even if you're experiencing lelois, even if you're experiencing night and the darkest moments of night, even if you're in the dungeons of darkness, of impurity, even then you should know you have the power of redemption. Yetzias Mitzrayim is still active in you. There is a kernel of liberation. There's a kernel of freedom at the core of your soul. As the Maral says, that Yetzias Mitzrayim set the Jewish people free in a manner that we can never be slaves again. Which means even if externally the person falls into captivity again, even if externally it seems like we get, like the Jewish people as a whole, went into other exiles, at root the Jewish people are not slaves. That's why a Jew does never has a slave mentality. It's not in him. We are a free people. And the same is spiritually. Our soul was imbued with the power of freedom. Hashem introduced something of himself. And being that God is not confined with any limitations and any boundaries, so too every single one of us, every Jewish man and woman, was imbued with the power that the gullus and the darkness, both coming from the body, coming from our Yetzer Hara, coming from all the conditions that we experience in our life, and everything that life presents us with, even the darkest and harshest moments, there too we have the power of redemption. There too we are not constricted. We are not limited. We could break free. It's there. It's in our power. Because Hashem has given us, Hashem has liberated us, maskirin yetzias mitzrayim, even balelois, even in the darkest night. Then the Chachamim come. And the Chachamim add something very, very, very special, and a far, far greater chiddush, something so immense. They say that the going out of Egypt is something that we have to mention, even in the days of Mashiach. Even when Mashiach comes, even in that time, in the Mashiach the world, even then we are going to mention the going out of Egypt. What is the chiddush of that? What is so great about that? We know that the light of the future redemption is going to be so powerful and so great that it's going to make the going out of Egypt dim. It's going to make the whole Egyptian redemption seem to be like nothing. What is the greatness of the future redemption over our present day redemption? And that is that the redemption that was when we went out of Egypt was a temporary redemption. Or at least physically it was a temporary redemption. We went out of Egypt and afterwards we fell back into exile. The Jewish people went into many other exiles after we were redeemed from Egypt. The future redemption is called the Geula She'ein Achrei HaGolus. It's a redemption that is not followed anymore by a Golus. It's going to be a permanent redemption forever and ever. Why is that? So say it's not just a technicality. That after the first redemption, we were able to fall back into exile, and the future redemption happens to be that God doesn't have any more exiles in store for us, and that's why there won't be any more of an exile. No, that's not the reason. It's indicative of the nature of the redemption itself. What is the power of the redemption? See, in the first and the initial redemption, God has empowered our neshama. He has invigorated our soul and given us the strength to break out of any constriction, of any boundary and any limitation, of any darkness that seems to stifle us, seems to imprison us. But we have the ability to break free of that. However, the ability of breaking free from that darkness is that we're able to exercise and express and reveal our soul. We're able to uncover our spiritual side, our godly soul. So that instead of experiencing our earthly, lowly cravings, we can experience our noble cravings, the cravings of our neshama and the higher yearnings and aspirations of our soul. True. But the other side, we have within ourselves the unholy side. The unholy side remains unholy. The unholy side remains uninspired, unenlightened. It just is that it's temporarily neutralized, temporarily silenced. It hasn't been transformed. Which means that our neshama was given the ability to free itself. It can free itself. It can express itself. That we can experience ourselves not as beastly people, but as godly people. The holiness, our inner core, can be revealed. But what happens with the outer shell? The outer shell was not transformed. The outer shell just doesn't have any more a grip on us that it can hold us and in an iron grip. Now we're able to free ourselves from it. That is why we find a very interesting thing. That when the Jews went out of Egypt, it says that they escaped from Mitzrayim. Ki barach ha'am. It says Pharaoh was told, ki barach ha'am, the people escaped. But Pharaoh gave them permission. Why is it called an escape? And the explanation is, because Pharaoh didn't give them permission to leave. Pharaoh only gave them permission to go serve God for 3 days. Go out to serve Hashem for three days and then come back. But the Jewish people went and they tricked Pharaoh. They went out for 3 days, but then they didn't come back. And they continued going. And that is why it's called an escape. And the question is why? Why did we do that? If Pharaoh would have let the Jewish people out of Golus, would have left them out of Egypt by means of his own goodwill, we can understand that God understood and that Moshe knew that we would never be able to get from Paro that he should relinquish his hold of the Jewish people permanently. At best, we were lucky if Paro would let them out for 3 days. So that's why he pleaded and he asked only for 3 days. But Paro wasn't even willing to give him the 3 days. The only way Paro let them out was by God bringing him to his knees through plague after plague. By God twisting his arm till he had no choice and said, you know what, you're free. If that's the case, so why did we have to escape? If God would have demanded that he let the Jewish people out completely forever, he would have had to do that anyways. So why did it come through a manner of trickery? Which makes the whole story a little distasteful. That we had to lie and to become a people. Our very origins began with lies and deceptions. It's hurtful. It's a very powerful question. I mean, it's a real strong question, which needs a good answer. How come when we went out of Egypt, we ran away? Hashem, we should have just gone out and gone out, finished. And the explanation is given. And that is because our physical redemption is mirroring and reflecting a spiritual redemption. See, the fact that we went out physically from Egypt was because spiritually our souls were liberated from the forces of darkness, which our souls were trapped in. However, when we went out of Egypt, that liberation of our soul did not cause a total metamorphosis and a transformation in our entire psyche, that everything in the human being changed and turned around and became holy. No. What happened was that when God revealed himself by Mitzrayim, he energized our soul, he sparked our soul. The Jews, after 210 years of spiritual deprivation, of spiritual malnourishment, of a point where they couldn't connect to God, finally now Hashem broke the crack through the darkness that was surrounding their souls and enabled their neshamas, their souls, to flare up like a blazing inferno. So their souls flared up and they left and they followed God with excitement, with love, with yearning, with desire to cleave and to bond with him. Fine. What happened to their other side? What happened to their unholy side? To the part of them that identifies not with heaven and with God, but identifies with earth and with all the with the idolatry and the immorality of Mitzrayim. What happened to that part? It temporarily was numbed. Temporarily it went to sleep. However, it was still there as part of them. And that's why it can always the danger of it being of it waking up again, and of it being reintroduced into their lives. And that is the reason also, and that's why God had to make them run, escape from Mitzrayim. Spiritually, they were running away. They were running away from themselves. They were running away from the Egypt that was inside of them. Being that there was a part of them that was still connected to Egypt, so when they left Egypt, to say that Paro liberated them completely, he freed them, would mean that they have no connection, that Egypt doesn't have a hold on their souls, and that's not true. Egypt still had its hold on them. They were just disassociating themselves from it, running to a wilderness. They ran to a place, God surrounded them with light, a place where there wasn't any of the filth of Egypt, so that their unholy side doesn't have anything to gravitate to, doesn't have anything to deserve. It's like an alcoholic who has experienced a sober moment and realizes the utter despicability of his life and how and what kind of pathetic state that he is in. So he has that moment and he wants to come out, and he's excited about changing his life and motivated to change. Will you take this alcoholic and let him stay overnight in a liquor store? The utter insanity. You wouldn't do that. Because true, the moment he has this desire, but there is still very, very much of his space, very much of his conscious self that is still very much attached to this. And if you leave him there, it will reignite his primitive passions and desires to the alcohol, his addictions. Same as with the Jewish people. The Jewish people had to be whisked away from Egypt very quickly because it was a very big part of them that was still etched and connected to Egypt. And that is why God said, run! Run to me, run to a place of light. Don't look at darkness, because darkness might be appealing to you. Since spiritually it was that way, so that translated also into the physical redemption. That Paro let them out for 3 days and they ran. Expressing and demonstrating that they were not completely disassociated and disconnected from Egypt. However, by the future redemption, it's not going to be that way. As the verse says, Loi b'menusa seilechon, you're not going to run. You're not going to flee. You're going to go slowly. What is the idea of it, of that being? See, the future redemption that is going to come in a manner where the good inside of us is going to expand and is going to reach it's going to fully encompass the human being, that even the unholy, even the Yetzer Hara, even the evil inclination is going to be transformed, and it itself is going to be drafted towards spirituality and holiness. It itself is going to become part of our connection to God. Everything in the human being, even the darkness, is going to be transformed to light. And why is that? Why is that going to be when Mashiach comes? Because the future redemption comes as a result of Torah and Mitzvahs. And Torah and Mitzvahs have the ability,
What Torah and mitzvahs are doing is that they're chipping away at the unholy side. They cause slowly, it's a slow process, but piece by piece, the unholy is being transformed. As a result of that, we don't see it. We don't see how after thousands of years we have changed so much that even our physical self doesn't really have an appetite anymore for the unholy things in this world. To us, imagine it in our imagination, it seems like we still desire them, we still want them, we still have a strong identification with them. See, the moment Mashiach comes and the light turns on and we see God, at that moment, our love and our excitement to God is going to be emanating from two places. It's going to be emanating from our soul, it's going to be emanating from our body. Even the evil inclination will say, ah, that's what I wanted all along. This is my truth. This is not what my soul is telling me. This is what even the animal element in man, the unholy side, it itself has already been transformed. It itself desires light. It desires spirituality and godliness and truth, even if we don't see it yet. And that is unique about the future redemption, which is far surpassing the redemption of the past, the redemption of the Yemos HaMashiach. And that is why Yetzias Mitzrayim was a temporary redemption. The future redemption is going to be a permanent redemption. Why is that? See, the past redemption, Yetzias Mitzrayim, being that it only enabled us to discover our soul and to free our soul from the constraints of the body and of the limitations of the darkness of our egos, but it didn't change the ego itself. So that's why by its very nature, it's not permanent. Because today you're flying high. Today the soul is kicking strong. But you never know. The other side in man might inflate the next day and will drag a person right into the darkness again. Like we see in our life. That we have the ups and downs. We have such high spiritual elevated moments. And even after we experience an hour, a day, a week, a month of great illumination, we find ourselves flat in our back again. Why? Because the other side has not been transformed, it hasn't changed. Because we only have a Yetzias Mitzrayim redemption, we haven't yet experienced the future redemption, which is going to be the transformation of the unholy, where darkness itself is going to be transformed to light. However, when Mashiach is going to come, since the redemption is going to be so powerful, so unrestricted and so unlimited, that it's going to take even the negative forces themselves and turn them around into holiness, so there won't be a possibility for another gullus, for another exile. There won't be a possibility for another, for any element of darkness, because there is no darkness anymore, because all of creation is illuminated with godly light because of the total transformation. So if that's the case, if the future redemption is so much greater than the past redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the question is, why, when Mashiach is going to come, are we still going to be talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? If this is minuscule, if this is an immature redemption in comparison to the great powerful redemption that's going to be then. And the answer is, in truth, it was all there in the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim really is the moment that encapsulates the exodus of Egypt, but not just the exodus of Egypt, all redemption that is going to be forever and ever. The future redemption too is there already in a potential and a hidden state, even in Yetzias Mitzrayim. When God descended into Egypt, He descended into the constrictions and the limitations and the darkness of our life, and He touched our soul with His essence. At that moment, He gave our neshama, our soul, the ability that there shouldn't be any barrier, there shouldn't be any wall, there should never be any constriction, any bondage that should hold the neshama and separate it from God. That the soul should be completely free to realize a complete connection to Hashem. That's what happened then. However, from God's perspective, it was given us a full dosage of a complete redemption that can carry us through the first, all the way through into the days of Mashiach too. However, the thing is, that on our part, on our side, it didn't fully manifest in a revealed way. To us, it came in stages. What does it mean it came in stages? The first initial stage was that now we were given the ability that if any constriction, if anything tries to stop our soul, even if we're laying under a ton of bricks, we're able to break, we're able to lift ourselves off and throw the bricks off our backs and to stand up. So spiritually, we're able to stand up. No matter what kind of cement is surrounding us, we're able to free ourselves from that state. That's stage number one. But again, that doesn't mean that there is no more boundaries in your life. There are boundaries. What are the boundaries? The very fact that tomorrow, the animal soul, the evil inclination, can come and dump another load of cement over you and throw you back into the darkness. That means that you haven't really... That means that you haven't... There is still a limitation. That means that there is still a constriction. There is still something there. Because there is still another side to you. The ultimate redemption means that Hashem gave us already Yetzias Mitzrayim was that we have the ability that to overcome every challenge and to break every boundary and to tear every rope and all shackles, that there is nothing left. There is nothing there that interferes between us and God. Which ultimately means the complete transformation of the negative into light. Because only then it's accomplished, that there isn't any more constrictions and limitations in our life. However, that, for whatever reason, did not kick in yet. It will kick in when Mashiach will come. But in truth, the empowerment from God was given to us when we went out of Egypt. It hasn't realized yet, but it's there. It will, the second stage of the redemption, which is the ability not only to neutralize the evil and the unholy, but to transform it, that will eventually reveal itself when Mashiach is going to come in the second stage of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So really, the going out of Egypt and the coming of Mashiach is the same thing. It's one point of redemption, which has two stages. And really, if the Jewish people would have been worthy, then they could have gotten to stage two immediately. As it knows that if they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, there would have never been a Golus anymore. So they had the empowerment. It was already there. But because of certain things that got involved, they messed up. And therefore, it's still taking 3,500 years until to finalize the redemption, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to complete it. But it's, and that is why our entire journey throughout all the darkness of exiles, the ups and the downs, it's one long journey into redemption. It's one Yetzias Mitzrayim, which ends by the coming of Mashiach. Or rather, should say, that's when it begins by the coming of Mashiach, because that's when we're finally liberated from all restrictions and all boundaries, which will be when Mashiach comes. And that's the deeper meaning of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah when he's saying that Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi LeYemos HaMashiach, all the days of your life to bring to the days of Mashiach, which are saying like this. The real core of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what is Yetzias Mitzrayim really all about? Going out of it is the days of Mashiach. That's really what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. And then on the other hand, what is Mashiach? What is the soul of Mashiach? What is the root of the days of Mashiach? Yetzias Mitzrayim. The core of the coming of Mashiach is the moment when God imbues us with the power to break out of any constriction and any barrier that might come and try to constrict us and try to trap us. That's also the meaning, a deeper meaning, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah using the words Lahavi LeYemos HaMashiach, to bring to the days of Mashiach. The better word would have been Lerabos LeYemos HaMashiach. That's the usual terminology in the Talmud to include something. Say not just this, but also to add this. What is the meaning Lahavi, to bring? So the meaning of that, in the deeper sense, is Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah is saying is that since Yetzias Mitzrayim is really, in essence, contains within it already the future redemption, already the ultimate redemption. What does that mean? That means that the days of Mashiach that are then, we are really connected to already now. In other words, that period of peace, tranquility, the period where there will be complete harmony in our life, where everything in us is going to be in sync, there isn't going to be any more conflict, there isn't going to be any more dichotomy in the human being. That perfect Mashiachic world that is going to be then, really, it's there now too. We have it now because we went out of Egypt. And when God took us out of Egypt, He gave us the ability for complete attachment to Him, both from body and soul, from the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. It's only that we haven't felt it in a revealed way only when Mashiach comes. But it's there now, and that's the meaning, Lahavi Liyamosa Mashiach. It means to bring the days of Mashiach into the present exile now. Even during this harsh and difficult time, there is a connection. Each and every one of us is connected to that ultimate stage, to that messianic state, the great Mashiach Digest state. It's there now. And here Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is doing something so awesome, something unbelievable. What he's doing is, he's taking the lowest point in our lives, the darkest moments in our life, and he's connecting it to the highest moment. You see, all of us, each and every one of us, have a life now. We're also going to be there when Mashiach comes. There is also a future. There is us as we are going to be in Yemais HaMashiach. Us as we're going to be in the days of Mashiach are going to live in total harmony and in total peace, completely one with God, one with spirituality, one with holiness. That's the way we're going to be then. Then, now, in our days, there are what? There is today's. Today's, at best, the best we can accomplish now is a moment when our neshama flares up. A moment of godly revelation. But, what else do we have in our days? We have nights. We have darkness. Now, if you can think of your darkest moment you've ever had in your life, the darkest moment, both physically, spiritually, a very dark, painful, concealing moment. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says, you should know that what? That even in that darkest light, even in that night, in the night of night, in the total eclipse, total when you feel paralyzed, when you feel completely disconnected from any purpose, when you feel worthless in this world, you don't even know what you're all about, what am I doing here, why was I born? I feel like a waste. It's in that moment of darkness, Rabbi Elizabeth says, Maskir in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Balelois. You mention the exodus of Egypt by night, which means even now you're connected to redemption. But which redemption? Which redemption? Not just the redemption where you can neutralize, you can break free of your darkness, but the ultimate redemption, the redemption of Yemais HaMashiach, the greatest redemption, the redemption where there won't be any darkness anymore, where darkness will be transformed to light. Even that redemption is connected to this moment right now. Because as a Jew, you transcend time, you transcend space. And therefore, right now, you're connected, the Yemois HaMashiach, to that future redemption. And so what Elazar ben Azariah is saying is Yetzias Mitzrayim on both extremes. Yetzias Mitzrayim in Yemois HaMashiach and Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelois and the nights. That is why it's connected to each and every one of us, even during this darkness. And that is why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave this teaching the day that he became the Nasi. Why? Because that is the point of the Nasi, of a Nasi, meaning someone who is appointed to be the leader of the Jewish people. That's his job. He himself is connected to the future. He himself is connected to the light of Mashiach. He himself is connected to the transcendental light. His job is, Nasi means to raise up. His job is to reach the Jewish people. The Jewish people, even if they're living in the alleys, even if they're living in the dark, dark, darkest places, even Jews that are struggling in the very, very darkness, to connect kol yemei chayecha, every day of every person's life, even those moments that seem so devoid, so separated, even those moments are connected to what? Connected to redemption, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not just the first element of redemption, but even the second stage of redemption. So that's why when he was becoming the Nasi, he revealed this teaching. Because this is what his job as a Nasi was. Lifting the Jewish people, giving them the strength, giving them the empowerment, that even in darkness they should be able to connect to the light. Now we just conclude, and this is the ultimate reason why, when the Jewish people went down into Egypt, they were already named in the name of the redemption. Not only the name of the Mitzrayim redemption, but also in the future redemption. Because in truth, it's not that God only empowered us with this empowerment when he took us out of Egypt, by the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Really, we essentially are beyond all limitation. It's not that God gave a gift to us when he took us out of Egypt. We, at our very essence, are a little piece of God from above. And therefore, there is no limitations, there are no boundaries, there are no constrictions, there is nothing that can bog our soul down. However, in order to display the intense power of the soul, to show how limitless a soul is and how infinite a soul is, what does God do? God takes our neshama and puts it into a body and puts it into this world and also throws us into exile. And all the darkness that we have, everything, it's only to do what? to display the power of how strong the soul is, that in any situation, put him to the test, any trial, any kind of obstacle, any kind of challenge, let it be the biggest challenge, it cannot disconnect the soul. It can't break the soul. The soul will find God even after the greatest separation, even after its greatest disconnect. But in order to this, so it's like you have this great wrestler, this heavyweight champion, the world's strongest person. And they go and they put chains upon him. Chains and chains and chains and chains. And now with these thick ropes and thick chains. And then the objective is that he will go and rip those chains. So when you're putting the chains around him, are you putting chains or are you showing the immense strength and the liberating power that this person has? That no matter what chain you put, it cannot constrict him, it cannot bond him. And that is what God is doing when Hashem puts our neshama into Golus. He's sending our soul down here to show the power of our soul. Ve'ela shemois b'nei Yisrael. What was the point of the darkness? What was the point of coming into Egypt? That too is Hashem gulasan, is our redemption. The going into the exile was not exile. The going into exile was also redemption. The ultimate redemption. The redemption, the future redemption. It's just stage by stage in which we display that. So we have to know that even when we're going through elements of darkness in our life, and even when the darkness is so dark, when we feel like we're having setbacks, we feel like we're plummeting down a hill, and we're just or down a cliff, and falling lower and lower and lower, we have to know that every moment of life, it's a life of a Jew. A Jew is a force of redemption. You're on a journey of redemption. Could be the only reason you fell, and could reason the only reason you slammed down so low is only, not could be, definitely it is that way, is because ultimately to show the strength of your neshama, that even under such difficult circumstances, even under such crushing darkness, the Jew isn't crushed. I have the power to come out of it, not just to come out of it, but to use those very ropes of bondage as ropes of attachment to God, to use the very walls as building blocks of a relationship with Hashem. We are all given the ability to take all the darkness of our life, to transform it, and that's our Pesach. And to recognize that every moment of our life till today is moments of redemption, not moments of exile. It's just that we see it as darkness from Hashem's perspective. He is putting us through, He's taking through us through a journey of redemption. And that journey continues, and we are fully, now we're at the very end of it, where we're going to have the revelation of Mashiach happening and revealed to us very, very soon. Right now, this Pesach, even before Pesach comes. Take care.